And so, church, we continue on the theme of discipleship, as I mentioned just now, in the kingdom of God. You know, today I'm going to share from Jesus' most famous or important sermon, the Beatitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, which lays out the attitudes and posture of the heart every disciple should have in the kingdom of God. You know, mind you, the Sermon on the Mount is long. You know, it's two chapters. No, actually, it's three chapters, yeah? Five, six, seven, you know, and it is virtually impossible to do everything in one sermon. Some people preach the entire Sermon on the Mount in 1 year, all right? So what I'm going to do is just cover on the Beatitudes, which is by itself already quite a monumental task, but I'll try my best to do it, all right? So in his sermon, Jesus gives us a radically countercultural view of blessedness and happiness. You know, while the world tells us that blessings and happiness come from things like material wealth, comfort, leisure, you know, popularity, or getting our own way, which are undeniably true, all right? They do give us a certain amount of blessing and happiness. Jesus, however, says there is an alternative blessing which gives us deeper fulfillment. One that comes from places of mourning, of meekness, of righteousness, mercy, purity, and even from persecution for righteousness' sake. Now, this shocked his original first century Jewish audience. And 2,000 years later today, it still surprises many of us who hear this counterintuitive and upside-down view. And so today, we're going to walk through each of the Beatitudes one by one. As we meditate on Jesus' words, may the Holy Spirit shape our hearts and realign our perspectives to adopt and live out this upside-down value system as disciples in the kingdom of God. Amen. And so beati, by the way, is a Latin word which means blessed or happy. Thus, we can say that beatitudes means attitudes that will bring us blessedness or happiness. All right? And so Jesus starts off his sermon by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, this is probably the most crucial point of Jesus' sermon as it lays out the foundation for the rest of his Sermon on the Mount. Now, in this first beatitude, Jesus pronounces blessings to those who are spiritually poor and also lacking. Now, when Jesus talks about poor here, all right, he is not just talking about people who are poor financially, but those who are poor in spirit, which, according to Jesus, is a greater poverty. Now, the spiritually poor are those who recognize that they desperately need to depend on God and understand that they cannot save themselves. You see, true blessings is found when we reach the end of our own capabilities and efforts, and we cry out for the mercy and the grace of God. Now, Jesus explains that when we recognize and explain and accept this, the kingdom of heaven is promised and also given to us, a place where God rules and reigns in our hearts and also our lives. And so right now you might be asking, so who actually are the spiritually poor? Well, you might be a person of great wealth, but your relationship with your family, your spouse, or your children is strained and broken. You might have a lot of money, but no true friends. Friends who you can totally trust and confide in. Or friends who love you for who you are and what they can get from you, or what you have, for example, all right? You are incredibly lonely in spite of your financial success. Now, if that is you, then you are spiritually poor. Or you may be very successful and also accomplished, but deep inside, you're filled with insecurities. You see, your confidence and your happiness are completely dependent on the extent of your achievements. Now, if you do well, you feel great. But if you don't, it devastates you until you feel completely worthless. You know, when you are like that, you are fragile and poor in spirit. Or you are someone who might look strong on the outside, but if inside you are filled with fear, with anxieties, you know, with helplessness, constantly worried about your life, you know, your health, your finances, your career, or your future, you know, struggling to find peace and stability in your heart, then you are also spiritually poor. Then there are also those of you, you know, whom, you know, your sense of worth and significance rises and falls based on the acceptance and approval that others give to you. You know, as a result, your entire life, you know, becomes a continuous pursuit of validation and also acceptance. You know, thus you are constantly performing for others and you lose your identity. You see, this is a very unhealthy and a very unsustainable way to live your life and a sign of extreme spiritual deficit. Now, some of you here today, maybe you are righteous on the outside, you know, you look righteous and holy on the outside. But inside, you're actually trapped with addictions that are eating you up with guilt and shame. Now, these addictions are gradually eroding your confidence, your well-being, and also your peace of mind. You see, church, there are simply too many of us living our lives with a mask. Not even the people in the outside world, you know, but the people in the church itself, Christians. There are simply too many of us living our lives with a mask. You see, we seem composed and strong on the outside. But inside, we're actually crumbling and broken. You know, we're unwilling and unable to reveal our vulnerabilities because of our fears. You know, because of our insecurities and also our unspoken pain. This is because we live in a world that often demands us to be perfect. And thus we become trapped in a cycle of pretense. And we wear this mask, you know, because of people's expectations, because of fear of being judged, or we believe that being vulnerable is a sign of weakness. But we need courage to escape this cycle. It requires us to recognize our imperfections and also weaknesses and accept that we are utterly poor in spirit by ourselves. Now, to put it simply, we need to acknowledge our spiritual bankruptcy. You see, just as someone who is bankrupt realizes that they need the help, they need other people's help to overcome their financial difficulties, acknowledging our spiritual bankruptcy before God allows His kingdom to enter and change our lives. It is only when we go to God with empty hands can He then fill us up with His life and also His power. Amen. Amen. Next, Jesus tells His followers, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." You see, while many people seek to avoid mourning and grief, Jesus teaches us that those who mourn are blessed and will find comfort in Him. Now, when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn," He meant two groups of people. The first group are those who are mourning due to personal losses or hardships. It is in those moments that the heart experiences the deepest grief, the deepest sorrow, and deepest pain. But Jesus says, we are blessed because it is precisely in those moments where He will comfort us with His presence, His peace, and also His hope of redemption. You see, this comfort which He provides is firstly, is deep. It is enduring and also consistent. The kind which the world cannot give. And even if it does, it is at best only temporary and also superficial. You know, there are sorrows, there are pains and hurts which only the Holy Spirit can go deep enough to heal. You know, some cuts are so deep that no amount of words or actions can console or mend your heart. You know, the sorrow of losing a loved one from a sudden or an unexpected death. You know, the hurt of betrayal by someone you trusted, or the pain of a massive failure, or the dying of a dream. You know, Jesus says that if we choose to go to Him in mourning in those moments, that He will bless us with His comfort. Now, the second group of people consists of those who recognize their sins and mistakes, that they have fallen short of the glory of God and grieve and also disappointed Him. And when they mourn in repentance, Jesus promises comfort to them with His abundant mercies. Now, how does He comfort us with His mercies? It is through His unconditional love for us, in that even when we fail, His love remains steadfast. You know, He gives us second chances to learn and grow from our mistakes and guides us towards righteousness. And when we fail, His mercies bring us closer to Him instead of pushing us away. He comforts us and strengthens us when we feel unworthy. You see, church, through the Holy Spirit, He helps us to overcome sin and become more like Christ. Friends, this is how God comforts us with His mercies. When we truly mourn for our sins and also our mistakes, His mercies are generous and abundant to those who turn to Him in true repentance. Amen. Thirdly, He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. See, meekness, church, according to Jesus, isn't about being weak, but having power under control and displaying strength tempered with humility and also gentleness. See, being meek is a conscious decision to use your strength and your authority in a way that respects and cares for others. It means managing your impulses and feelings and directing them towards positive outcomes. You see, someone who is meek shows quiet confidence and also resilience. They are willing to listen, understand, and be kind even in tough situations. They know that true strength doesn't come from being forceful or aggressive, but from self-control and acting with grace. You see, Jesus set the example of perfect meekness throughout his life by displaying gentleness, humility, and love, despite possessing immense authority and power. And he encourages us to follow his example, promising us that by doing so, we will inherit the earth, hinting at a future restoration and justice when he returns. Now, what this means is that even though we may face difficulties and challenges when we choose to live in meekness, God assures us a future reversal where the humble and meek will ultimately prevail and triumph. So let us be motivated to live in an attitude of meekness. Amen. Remember, church, meekness is not weakness. All right, tell your neighbor, meekness is not weakness. Next, he tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, the phrase hunger and thirst implies implies an intense desire and also longing. You know, we all know that cravings shape much of our lives, correct? And hunger is not a casual matter, right? It's not 不是开玩笑的, okay? In fact, it is essential and unavoidable, all right? To satisfy our hunger is crucial for survival. That is why sin so often sneaks into our lives and traps us without us even noticing it. You know, that's why people are so easily angry when they're hungry, all right? That's why there's a term called hangry, all right? Hungry and angry, especially when I'm fasting right now, okay? Think about what are your strongest desires and longings right now. Are they towards comfort, pleasure, wealth, success, power, influence, and approval from others? Well, if these are what you thirst for, then you might sin to feed that hunger. But you will only be filled for a moment, but never permanently fulfilled. But if your desire is for God's righteousness, for God's love, for moral uprightness, for truth, for justice, then your deepest needs and desires will find ultimate fulfillment. Now, how do we cultivate that hunger and thirst for righteousness? You know, there's really no other way except by immersing ourselves in Jesus through his reading, through reading of his word, worship, and also prayer. You know, this means not just skimming the surface, but delving deeply into his teachings, his life, and also his example. You know, these are the only ways, all right? For lack of a better, there's really no other way. These are the only ways because it is only by reading his word will we understand his principles and promises. And it is only by worshiping him will we connect with his presence and power. And only through prayer will we deepen our relationship with him. Only, church, when we do these three spiritual disciplines consistently as a major part of our lives, can the Holy Spirit then change our desires, our attitudes, and also our actions, and lead us into a life that reflects his righteousness. You know, Jesus promises us that those who genuinely desire for his righteousness will be blessed with complete satisfaction and also fulfillment. Amen. Amen. I hope you're still with me, church. I know, you know, I'm pretty ambitious. I'm trying to cover all 8 Beatitudes in one sermon. Like I said, you know, Sermon on the Mount can take 1 year. Beatitudes can also take 1 year, all right? So I'm just going through an overview, you know, of each of the general Beatitudes, all right? Amen. Number 5, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You see, mercy is the act of responding to suffering, pain, and brokenness with compassion and also restoration, rather than with hostility or rejection. See, being merciful means looking at the hurts of others through the lens of God, allowing our hearts to be moved with compassion for them rather than against them. You see, we all need mercy because we all suffer. Whether it is disappointment, fear, doubt, illness, betrayal, or loss, not to mention our own mistakes and also sins. And in those moments, we need mercy and not judgment or accusations. You see, demonstrating mercy means seeing people and situations through the compassionate lens of Jesus rather than condemning them, but also having the courage to identify and speak out against their wrong. This is the example of Jesus who embodied both grace and also truth, extending mercy to hurting people while also boldly confronting religious hypocrisy and also oppression. Now, some of the ways we can follow this example is, is by supporting someone struggling with addiction, but at the same time, confronting their harmful behavior. Or forgiving someone's mistakes while having the courage to address their wrongs. Or we can help someone with financial hardships, but at the same time, addressing their poor management habits. You know, showing mercy to someone is telling that person, hey, I don't judge you, but you need to change and you need to repent. All right? Amen? The key is to approach the person with empathy and love and seek positive change without harming them, which is how Jesus approaches mercy with compassion and also courage. And so, church, as recipients of God's mercy, we are all called to extend the same compassion and grace we have freely received. You know, the more we are blessed with God's kindness in our own moments of failure and also pain, the more we must open our hearts to show that same mercy to others. Amen. Number six, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You see, having a pure heart means having a wholehearted devotion and undivided loyalty to God. You see, instead of trying to judge our loyalties between God and money, God and human relationships, or God and worldly comforts, the pure in heart seek after God alone as their highest love and also treasure. You know, Jesus wants us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength in our everyday lives. You know, our faith must permeate every aspect of our lives, whether it's our work or our leisure activities, you know, how we manage our time or our finances, or even in our speech or our quiet times. And the ultimate blessing for us is the promise to see God, not only in eternity, but also in the present. You see, God reveals Himself to those who focus on Him. You know, when there are no rivals in our hearts, God fills it with His presence and also His fellowship. And so, church, today, let us think about the desires that are cluttering our hearts. Where does God stand in our affections and also our priorities? Is there anything more important than God? You know, we got to make it a spiritual habit, all right, to on a regular basis, to check what are priorities of our hearts. Where does God stand in our affections and also our priorities? Is there anything more important than God in our lives? Well, if there is, church, ask the Lord to purify your heart, to purify your desires unto your greatest desires for Him. Let this be our prayer. As what the psalmist says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Amen. Number seven, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, peacemakers are those who restore peace, harmony, and also relationships in the midst of conflict. You know, instead of adding to division and also hostility, they bring together opposing parties through compassion, empathy, sacrifice, and also reconciliation. And Jesus says He will bless those who step into conflict and disagreements with God's healing love, despite the inconvenience, the discomfort, the misunderstanding, or even hostility they will face. Peacemakers are not weak, but incredibly strong people. You know, peacemakers understand the calling of God to be peacemakers in a world marked by violence and also division. You know, they overcome evil with good, lies with truth, and hatred with love. They bring the ministry of reconciliation wherever people are estranged from God or each other. You know, Jesus tells us to dedicate ourselves to mending broken relationships, to embracing outsiders, to loving difficult people. This is hard. This is difficult. It is difficult to love difficult people and to forgive others for the sake of peace. And when we sacrifice our unity, we reveal our identity as true children of our peacemaking Father. Now, some of you here today, maybe there are ongoing conflicts or prolonged disagreements with people in your life. It could be your parents. It could be your siblings. It could be your colleague at work or your schoolmate or even your church ministry members, all right? Think and pray what steps you can take to increase understanding and bring restoration and reconciliation. Amen. Lastly, Jesus says this to his followers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this last beatitude might have been the most surprising for Jesus' followers. You see, he pronounces blessing upon those who endure hostility, who endure abuse, violence, ridicule, or disadvantage because they stood up for righteousness. Now, not many of us will face persecution of such kinds, all right? Unless you are living in certain oppressive countries, you know, or regions. However, many of us might experience persecution for following Jesus, especially if it goes against the norms of your culture. Now, this might happen at school, at work, or with friends. You see, speaking up or living according to Jesus' teachings can sometimes strain relationships and lead to difficulties because of your beliefs. It could mean facing rejection from others, you know, or potentially missing out on promotions, you know, opportunities and financial gains because you prioritize obedience to God. You know, you're rejected because you choose not to engage in certain actions or behaviors that contradict your faith and also your convictions. You know, I recently read the story of a Hollywood actor, all right, who lost out on many acting roles just because he refused to shoot any intimate scenes. Out of respect for his wife and for his Christian convictions. It's not even those, you know, super, super intimate, all right? He refused to even kiss an actress on screen. And because of that, he lost many roles. All right, if you see his face, you will know who he is now, all right? Quite famous man, all right? And so, church, when we live righteously, we share in Christ's struggles and show that we are representing Him well. But having said that, we also shouldn't claim that all challenges are persecution. You know, some criticisms are due to our poor performance or conflicts due to different perspectives, you know, personalities, you know, or also sometimes due to misunderstandings. You know, sometimes when you are rejected in a relationship, it is just due to not being compatible or personal preferences. You know, it has nothing to do with our religious faith, all right? So we cannot interpret every type of challenges or as persecution for righteousness' sake, okay? So you are fired from your job, or you break up with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, all right? Don't just simply say that you're being persecuted, all right? It is not, okay? And so, church, the Beatitudes says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, when people oppose us because of our beliefs or because we choose to live righteously, Jesus wants to give us confidence that we have the same promises as the poor and the meek, whereby we receive a greater inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. You know, staying strong needs courage. And so today, let us ask God to make our convictions stronger than the pressure to fit in. All right? And when we face hard times, pray that our trust in God is more powerful than any temptation to give in. You know, representing Jesus faithfully might be painful when people disagree, but in the end, you know, it cannot truly hurt us. The kingdom, both now and forever, is for those who face persecution because they follow what is right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I have the musicians? And so, church, we've looked at what it means to live out our lives with the upside down, countercultural, counterintuitive ways that Jesus calls blessed in the Beatitudes. You know, the ways of Jesus go against our natural inclinations, all right? It goes against our natural wisdom. And what the world tells us will make us happy. They are radically different from the ways of this world. Now, following these teachings means taking up Jesus' ways of blessedness through poverty of spirit, mourning, meekness, hunger for righteousness, mercy, purity of heart, peacemaking, and a willingness to face persecution for righteousness' sake. You see, this path won't be easy. The way of Christ is often is one of self-denial, of sacrifice, and at times suffering for the sake of the gospel. This path demands us to be obedient. But know this, God, in this reversal of values and attitudes, wants to empower us instead of weakening us. You know, a lot of us are afraid of living out our lives based on the Beatitudes because it feels weak. It feels like a defeat. It feels that we are losing out. But notice that God, in this reversal of values and attitudes, is there to empower us and not to weaken us. Jesus assures us that this upside down kingdom life is what leads to true and lasting joy, true purpose, and the very kingdom of heaven itself. And He promises us profound blessings and rewards that far outweigh any struggles that we may face right now. You know, imagine the radical freedom you will have from such a profound shift in perspective. You know, it is a freedom not defined by the world's standards, but by the depth of your relationship with God. When we surrender our own ways and submit to God's ways, we are liberated from the endless pursuit of personal gratification and also the world's validation. You know, we are no longer slaves to the pressures of conforming to other people's expectations or to compete for recognition and also status. Instead, we find freedom in embracing humility, compassion, and also selflessness. Now, this freedom empowers us to live boldly and authentically. It releases us from fear of insecurity. We can now speak truth with conviction, even when it is unpopular, because now we know that our worth and identity are rooted in God's unconditional love for us. And because of that, we can now also extend grace and forgiveness to others because we ourselves have been forgiven much. Finally, church, this freedom enables us to navigate life's challenges with resilience, and hope. You know, we live in a fallen and imperfect world where we cannot avoid facing challenges and also sufferings. You know, Jesus is telling us that if you experience these things in your life right now, setbacks, illness, loss, brokenness, injustice, betrayal, persecution, you can weep, you can grieve and be discouraged. And God gives you the space to do that. But blessed are you who mourn now, for you will be filled with the joy and peace of the Lord. Notice that the blessings are not later, but now, in the present tense. Therefore, it means that now you are blessed even as you grieve. Now you are blessed even as you are suffering. And now you are blessed even as you sacrifice. And now you are blessed even as people treat you unfairly or reject you or betray you or persecute you. Jesus is saying, I am giving you a blessedness that is not dependent on circumstances. Not only that, that blessedness increases in poverty of spirit. It increases in mourning. It increases in meekness, in hunger for righteousness, in mercy, in purity of heart, in seeking peace, and in persecution. It increases. Church, this is the paradox, the mystery of the kingdom of God. This paradox of the Beatitudes centers us in Christ. It creates a people of strength and power where we do not fear lack. We do not fear suffering, or we do not fear rejection. Neither will money, comfort, achievement, recognition, you know, consume us if we adopt these attitudes and live out these ways. Do you know what that radical freedom also does to us? We now have the confidence and strength to pursue all that God has called us or inspired us to do or to be. But at the same time, it keeps us centered and grounded in Christ as our main source of significance, security, and also our hope. See, friends, I hope you see this. That is incredible power and blessings. That is incredible power and blessings. This way of life is not meant to make you weak, but to give you power and to give you strength. So the question is this: do you want this blessed life that comes from obedience to His way, to God's way? Are you ready to surrender your ways for Jesus' ways? Will you surrender your life fully to Him and embrace these upside-down attitudes and actions that He lays out? Even when they don't make sense to you or the world around you. It will require courage, perseverance, and most importantly, it will require the power of the Holy Spirit. But it starts from us coming to the end of ourselves, recognizing our spiritual bankruptcy, and mourning our sin before a holy God. It is then and only then will the Holy Spirit transform our hearts and give us the strength to live out this ways of Jesus and receive the blessedness of His kingdom. Amen. Amen. Before we end today and before we close in prayer, maybe there are some of you here who have yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, today you have heard this blessed life, you know, that God has for you and that God is offering you. You know, it is very different. Some of you are hearing this for the first time, you know. It's very different from the way of life you've known and lived out your entire life. The life that you have right now, you know, something seems to be missing. You're not very fulfilled. There is a certain emptiness in your life in spite of all that you have. And this morning, God is inviting you to a better way of life. A life of true blessedness and happiness. Or there are things in your life that are just not working out the way you expect. Based on your own wisdom and also after careful planning. You know, there are some of us, you know, we plan our lives so carefully. We strategize so well. This is what I'm going to do, what I'm going to achieve. You know, by 30, I'm going to become this. By 40, I'm going to become this. By 50, I'm going to become this. You know, I'm going to reach this milestone. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. But right now, your particular age, and you feel that nothing seems to be according to your plan. Even though you plan so carefully. Today, God wants to give you His wisdom for life. the wisdom that is not your own, but the wisdom from heaven. Wisdom for your life. Or maybe some of you here today. Maybe you're mourning. You're mourning because of the pains and the hurts of things that happen in your life. Maybe you lost someone. Yeah? Or you lost something. You failed in something miserably. You made a massive mistake. And you are brokenhearted. You are broken. You are a broken person. God wants to comfort you with His mercies and also His love. And He wants to restore you and also give you hope. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I don't know if there is any one of you here this morning. You haven't received Christ as your personal Savior. You want a change in your life. You want a different kind of life. You know the life that you've been living all these years, right? Something is missing. Something is wrong. There's an amount of emptiness. And it doesn't seem to be going according to your plans. Or it doesn't seem to be... You're not fulfilled. You have a lot of things. But you're not truly happy. Or your happiness is only temporary or fleeting. You. God wants to bless you. God wants to comfort you. God wants to come into your life. Amen. Amen. For some of you today, you're mourning. You know, because of certain things that happen in your life. And no amount of words or actions from people around you is able to heal and mend that broken heart, that brokenness in your life. Only God, only the Holy Spirit can comfort you and heal you deeply. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we all pray? Amen. Let us close in prayer. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Shikararaba. 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 Let us pray. When you come to God this morning, wherever you are, for those of you who are here or watching online, let's come to God. Let's commit ourselves to living our lives according to Jesus' ways, the ways of the Beatitudes, the blessed way, the way that will lead to happiness, the way that will lead to true blessedness. And God wants to give it to us. For those of you who have not received it, God wants to give it to you. You only have to come to Him, to open your heart to Him. Come to Him with empty hands, and He will come to you. And He will come to you, and you fill your heart with His presence, with His peace, with His hope. Let us come.